Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as Pastor Kevin mentioned, today we're talking about anchors. And as we think about this, I want us to think about what an anchor is. An anchor is that metal thing hanging off a ship or boat, right? Maybe we need to think about it more as what does an anchor do? And what an anchor does is it holds the boat in place. It keeps it where it's supposed to be. It keeps it from drifting away regardless of what kind of conditions are going on in that sea. And as we talk about anchors for the soul, we are going to think about it in that way. An anchor for the soul is that which keeps us where we are supposed to be. That keeps us from drifting away regardless of the conditions around us. That keeps us where we're supposed to be, which is in Christ Jesus and his truth and his mercy. An anchor for the soul is that which keeps us tethered to him, tethered to our Lord and our Savior. So today, as we talk about these anchors, the first one we're going to talk about is Scripture. Scripture alone. And in Scripture alone, or sola scriptura, we talk about our belief that God's Word in the Bible gives us exactly what we need to know. That it gives us everything we need to know about our God and about how he goes about providing salvation for us. It's all there. Everything he needs us to know, his inspired word. And as you saw in our scripture readings today, sometimes in God's word, the topic is the word itself. Well, that's what we see in our sermon text in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4. St. Paul talking about the Word of God and its use in our lives. Now, in 2 Timothy, we see kind of a special message from St. Paul. St. Paul was one who God used to write many books of our Bible. But 2 Timothy is a little different. 2 Timothy is special because it's what we think is the last letter of Paul that we still have today. Written as he was in prison, written as he was awaiting his own death, 2 Timothy is, in a way, Paul's last address, his farewell letter. And it's written to a person. It's, as God inspired it, it's written to all of us, but it's addressed to Timothy, a young pastor who Paul had mentored and who Paul has some final words to say regarding the church and the future of the church. So being Paul's last address, you can imagine what he has to say here is pretty important, and it is. He's talking about anchors, the things which keep us tethered to Christ, and specifically in these verses, the Word of God, how Scripture alone is our foundation and our anchor. And so we're going to look for two things in this text today. We're going to look for Paul's instruction and a warning. He does two things here. They're tied together, but they're separate. It's an instruction and a warning for us. So we'll start with the instruction. Paul starts and says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed." Continue in what you've been taught. Continue in what you have believed. And he wastes no time saying where that belief comes from. Knowing from whom you learned it, Jesus, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The source is Jesus, God's word, and it tells his story. The story of salvation through Jesus for us. These are the things that Paul is telling us to continue in, to center our lives on, to live by. An anchor for our souls. And Paul goes on and he talks about how these scriptures are not just useful in telling us how we are to be saved, but they also come into play in all areas of our life. He continues saying this. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul, in the way he speaks to scripture, in the way God uses him to speak to scripture, talks about how it is useful in all areas of life. For correction, for reproof, for training in righteousness, that we may be complete and ready to do his work, to fulfill our personal ministries. And this is our idea when we talk about scripture alone. that everything we do should be founded on, normed by, informed by God's Word, what He has revealed to us in Scripture, what He has given to us. Scripture is all He needs us to know. And so we hold it as an anchor, as something important, as something that is constant in a world that, quite honestly, is always changing. Scripture is that foundational principle and belief for us. But more than just remember it, Paul goes on. And there's a next part in this instruction. Not just remember it and center your lives on it, but also share it. He says this, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and encourage with complete patience and teaching." This is what we are to do. We are to remember the word, but also to share it, to preach it, to teach it, to correct when needed, but also to encourage people. This is our instruction as Christians. This is what Paul is leaving us with. This is what God spoke to him to speak to us. Keep your lives centered on this word, on this foundational principle, and allow others to anchor themselves to it as well. The word is so important in our lives. It is that principle, that norm for us. Now, these instructions are rather simple. Rather simple to spell out, to remember the word, and to preach it and share it. But we know they're not always that easy to carry out. It's not always easy to keep our lives centered on God's word. It's especially not easy to share that word when more and more people come in conflict with it. And this is kind of how Paul gets into the second part of this message, the warning. The warning of how our human hearts can lead us away from this foundational anchor, this scripture that God has given to us as an informative source for our entire lives. And this warning is actually kind of a prophecy of what is to come, a prophecy of what will happen, a prophecy of what honestly has been happening since the beginning of the church and is still happening as much as it ever has today. Here is what Paul says in this warning. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Does that sound like our world today? It truly does. A time is coming when people will no longer endure sound teaching, the sound teaching found in Scripture, but instead, having itching ears, having their own desires, they're going to go find people and teachers and pastors and leaders who are going to tell them what they want to hear. This is our world today. People no longer, by and large, listen to sound teaching, but they instead look for that which they want to hear. There is no anchor for so many people, nothing keeping them from drifting away, but rather they go with the current. This is Paul's warning for us. And the truth is, today in our world, there are so many people who simply do not recognize Scripture as an authority. They don't agree with what is said there. They may disagree with small parts, or they may deny it all. But either way, what people in our world today are doing is they are putting Scripture second or third or somewhere else. They're denying its authority in our lives. They're denying it as God's word. And instead, they're giving authority to other things, to human emotion, to tradition, and most of all, to science and reasoning. They rejected the authority of Scripture, and they have rejected the anchor it is supposed to be. There's a lot of reasons people get to this place. There's a lot of ways they go down that path. Often it starts with finding one part of the Bible that they see as disagreeable, one piece that they just can't quite reconcile with. Often it's a Old Testament narrative, such as creation or the Great Flood, something that just doesn't make sense in their mind, so they just can't quite believe it. Other times it's a teaching in the Bible that we now in our modern culture see as harsh or oppressive, something like God's sexual boundaries for humanity. But we must ask ourselves, when we go down this path, when people go down this path, where does it stop? Where does it stop? Can you really pick and choose which parts you believe and continue to hold fast to the rest of it? You see, God's Word in the Bible, it's the story of Jesus. It's His story. It's His Word. The Old Testament is the story pointing to Jesus, and the Old Testament is quoted by Jesus consistently. The Gospels are the story of Jesus and His life on earth, and they're His words. The epistles and the rest of the New Testament are the words of God written through Jesus' close companions. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in His Word. The question is, how do we as humans take these sacred words and pull the pieces we don't like and keep the pieces we do? How does humanity get to make that call? How do we get to a place where we are simply that arrogant? But yet, this is the world we live in. This is the world around us. This is what's going on in our culture, even in Christianity, where people pick and choose the pieces they want to adhere to. And now, not believing every word of the Bible, it doesn't necessarily destroy saving faith. We know that by faith in Jesus and His death for us is all we need for salvation. But while it may not necessarily destroy saving faith, it is a very dangerous place to be living in. Because if you follow human reason as a high authority, as the highest authority, and you follow that path to its logical conclusion, eventually you're going to start to doubt the very work of Jesus Christ, what He did for us, those salvation-specific things. Those people who put humanity and our reasoning as the highest authority, we slowly start to strip away pieces of Jesus, pieces of His story. We first strip away His miracles, then we strip away His heart's teachings, until we've stripped away everything that makes Jesus different than you and me. So many people want to make Jesus like us. So many people want to make Jesus no more than a glorified man who spoke and preached acceptance and love. So many people want to make Jesus a social advocate rather than a savior. It's not an anchor. And you know, the really sad thing about all of this is not just a mistake and sometimes heresy that individual people are making. It's not just a mistake we make when we go and read our Bible at home and misunderstand it, but this is a mistake that entire church bodies are making. A trap that they are all falling into, as Paul said, as the words of God said in 2 Timothy. This is an epidemic. Let me give you a few examples here, and I won't name any specifics, but you need to know this is happening. One church body in our country, a church body that is Christian, recently decided that any word describing God in the masculine was not inclusive enough. Saying He when talking about God was not inclusive enough. So they retranslated their Bible with this idea in mind, and they removed all the masculine pronouns referring to God. They decided that God, as He reveals Himself, was not to their liking, so they changed it. Another example, another prominent denomination on their webpage has their What We Believe. And in this What We Believe, they cite the things that they derive their beliefs from. And they list four things. One of them is Scripture, but there's three others right along with it: tradition, experience, and reasoning. Basically, they're saying three of the four come from us. Three of the four are entirely human, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to believe what we think is right, and we'll pull God's Word in when appropriate to what we choose and want to believe, what our itching ears want to hear. And lastly, a church that we wouldn't call Christian, but nominally they are, denies the Trinity itself. They don't believe that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They don't believe that Jesus is God because it doesn't make sense. They can't logically rationalize how God could exist in that terms. Basically, they don't believe that God could exist on any other terms than what we know and experience. And so they've changed God altogether. This is what our world does. This is the trap they are falling into. No longer enduring sound teaching, no longer enduring the truth of Scripture. And these three churches I listed are no small churches. They are three of the seven biggest in the United States. They are all much larger than our own church body, and they're not alone. I didn't have to look that long to find these three examples. This is an epidemic. This is what Paul warned, that people in their humanity are always going to try and find authority in things that are apart from God and things that are human, that are from us. This is the reality in our world today. And you may wonder how church bodies who are there to proclaim Jesus and his word have gone this far from the truth. Well, when it comes down to it, they're doing just what Paul said. They're catering to the whims of people. They're not allowing themselves to be attached to that anchor. Instead, wherever the tide shifts, they go. When people want someone to tell them something, they tell them that. And we got to remember, we're part of this. This is not just those outside of us. We have this same temptation. We, like other churches, fear being labeled as judgmental or hypocritical, so we often keep our mouths shut. Or worse, sometimes we find a way to make God fit us. We sometimes, and others many times, hunt through Scripture searching for contradictions. Searching for contradictions so that we can omit those passages we don't really love. But in reality, you don't find any contradictions in Scripture. There's no contradictions between Scripture and the rest of Scripture. The only contradictions we really find are contradictions between our will and God's. And in that moment, there are temptations to explain away God's will and word to make it fit us, to make it more appealing to us and the rest of people around us. The truth is, these days, it's becoming harder and harder to find people who accept God's word as it is, who allow it to be an anchor for our souls. And the reason is because we as a society have denied absolute truth. We as a society as a whole have denied that there is any one truth holding everything together, that there's a God who speaks. And instead, we've made it all relative. Relative to the person, how they think, how they feel, how they want things to be. We have made ourselves the authority. It's the same sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden, wanting to be like God and wanting to go their own way rather than his. And this is what we're doing when we take away or add to God's word. But the rest of God's word is pretty clear about the dangers of this. It's pretty clear about what happens when we do this. Galatians chapter 1 is harsh when it says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we have already preached to you, let him be cursed." Paul and God's word takes this issue so seriously because lives are at stake. People's salvation is at stake. If you begin to take away bits and pieces of God's word, you begin to strip away bits and pieces of the story of Christ himself. And that's what God's word is. That's what Scripture is. It is the story of Jesus. When we take away from Scripture, we destroy the beautiful truth found there. The truth that says, even though I am a sinner, even though we are sinners, even though we so often try to stray from God, even though we so often try to put our feelings and emotions and our authority above his, even though we do that, our God loves us. He came to earth for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He rose for us, that we may have life, that we may be saved by simple faith in him, that we may be saved simply because he says, "I choose you." That's the truth found in Scripture. That is the truth Paul is trying to protect. That is the truth he has told us to go out and share. But you need it all to tell that story properly. You need all of his word, not just the bits and pieces we like. When you take away laws, when you say things that God says are sinful are not, well, you destroy the need for us to see ourselves as sinful and in need of a Savior. When you take away or add to and give ourselves more things we need to do, more things we must do because Christ isn't enough, well, then you degrade the sacrifice he made for us. There's only one way. It is the way defined in Scripture. There is only one anchor, and it cannot be changed or reformed by our will. So we ask ourselves, where is our part in all this? What is the role of our own intelligence and reasoning and emotions? Can they be used in conjunction with our faith? Well, yes, they can. Your reasoning, the experiences you've had, your emotions, the tradition of those who came before us, these are good things. They are honestly gifts from our God. But the second those things come in conflict with God's word, and they will, because we're sinful humans, and there will be days where our emotions and our understanding come in conflict with God's word. When those days come, we must take a step back, look at the situation, go in prayer before the Lord, and recognize, who's the authority in my life? Is it me and how I feel and think? Or is it my God who speaks truth from the beginning of time in ways that sometimes are beyond me? You see, our feelings, our emotions, our reasoning, they're correct only insofar as they align with God's word, with Scripture. That is the norm for our lives. It is the compass for our souls. You see, an anchor only works if you use it. So what are we to do? Well, follow Paul's warning and his instruction. First, be careful. We're human. Like Adam and Eve and every other human who's ever lived, there will be temptations to put yourself above God, to want to be like him, to want to make our own rules, to want to do that which we will. And we must be careful. We must be careful to seek authority from God rather than ourselves. But more than just heeding the warning, we've got to follow the instructions Paul gives us here. First, continue in what you have learned and what you have believed, and then share it. Preach the word, but the true word, the whole word. Remain in it. Let it be a foundation for you. Let it be a compass for you, a compass for our hearts and souls in a world that is so constantly changing, that is so constantly redefining what is right and wrong. This is our anchor. This is the truth that always has been and always will be. It is something solid and something foundational. Hold fast to it. And let others know. As Paul said, sometimes we need to correct and to rebuke, to show people where they are erring. The law is important. It shows us that we are sinful and we can't do this on our own, that we need a Savior. But it also shows so clearly that Savior. We as Christians can't let ourselves stop at correcting, but we must also encourage. We must encourage people with the most encouraging message that has ever been shared, the message of Jesus Christ as found in Scripture, that he died for us, that by believing in him, we may have life in him, that despite our sin, despite our lack of trust, despite our constant fight with him to be the authority, he loved us, he chose us, he saved us, that Christ has done all that is necessary and all that ever will be necessary. That's the gospel message. That's what Scripture says. That is the message for all ears to hear. It's the truth of God's word, and it is the anchor for our souls. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto his eternal life. Amen. Now at this time, we join together in a time of offering and meditation around some special music.